We'll be in 2 Corinthians, and I'll read verses 1 through 11 this evening on the theme of our consolation and comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us, he also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Father, we do ask for your blessing upon the reading of your word and upon the ministry of it to our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we see in this short passage, the word comfort and the word consolation is used several times. And I think as believers, we understand how important both consolation and comfort are in our lives. And we find that this whole idea of consolation and comfort all comes about because of our relationship to Christ. And even though we have many trials and difficulties, we find that it becomes a ministry not only to us, but of us to others as well. And so we want to look at this, and as we comment this evening, draw some conclusions, of course, as we go through these 11 verses. First of all, Paul was comforted in Timothy. As we see at the very outset here, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So I believe that we can even say that Paul was not only comforted of Timothy, but he was comforted of the church of God in Corinth, and he was comforted concerning the saints which were there as well, he says, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So basically Greece was divided into two sections, northern and southern, and generally Achaia is considered the southern section, and the northern section is Macedonia. So when he speaks of Achaia here, he's talking about the southern section, evidently where Corinth was, but the larger section of it. And he found his hope and a blessing in knowing that he could minister unto these people, as you also perhaps are ministering unto people, and you find that your hope and your comfort to do so is not only in your ministry in Christ, but the fact that you can minister to these very people, such as the apostle, having Timothy as a co-laborer, and the church at Corinth as those beloved saints in the Lord, that he would be able to minister and serve as he served the church of God, which is at Corinth. Then he goes on to say, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Certainly Paul's encouraging words are here in this verse. Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see Paul not only mentions the grace of God and the peace of God, but he mentions God the Father and God the Son. And so he speaks of them equally on the same level in the sense of being a part of the Godhead. And so he believed, of course, even as we do, that the Godhead was a corporate body, as it were, of deity, in that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are a triunity of the Godhead. And he goes on to say, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." We note the repeat that he says, "Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," and then he says, "Father of mercies," and then he says, "the God of all comfort." And so here we have a very wonderful combination of titles indicating to us that God is one who blesses us. God is truly our Father, and he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sense that God the Father sent him into the world that he might be known as the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and that God the Father is the Father of mercies unto us. And he is the God of all comfort to us. And so our mercies and our comfort come from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, as he says in verse 3. In verse 4, he begins to use this word comfort a little more frequently, saying, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Well, we do have manifold tribulation in this world. There are many things which we go through. Certainly the Apostle Paul was definitely implying that he himself had tribulation, as much as the saints in Achaia had tribulation. And so the body of Christ is a group of believers who trust God, but not without tribulation. We have our trials. And he says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so here is a sense of ministry that we have because we are comforted in our tribulations. We are able to comfort others in their tribulations. And it probably isn't something that we normally think of, that when we're going through a difficult time, that perhaps we are going to use those similar experiences that we have and try and help and minister or comfort those who are going through very similar trials, even as we have gone through trials. But the trials alone, of course, are not the big issue here, but rather the God of all comfort. We have to remember that it is our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of mercies who is the God of all comfort. And so we find that our relationship to God then is the key issue. It is the key point to our being able to comfort others when we go through difficulties. And we can share our feelings, our experiences. We can share our prayers. We can share our frustrations. And the difficulties that we have are common enough among all people. But among the believers, among those who are saints of Christ, they become especially important to encourage others who are going through some difficulty. And so we are to comfort others, even as we ourselves are comforted, and that comforting is part of the ministry that God has given to us. In verse 5 he says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." And so this verse kind of helps us to kind of make the point a little bit more in saying that yes, we do have many sufferings, and they do abound. But he says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, those sufferings which we bear for the sake of our faith in Christ, as those sufferings abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And so here is a wonderful theme for us to lay hold of, that the comfort and the consolation that we have in Christ becomes a comfort and a consolation not only to us, but unto others as well. And it is a good thing to have someone to speak to and to share your difficulties with. Sometimes we find it difficult perhaps to open up and talk to others. But when the right opportunity comes along, God will give us someone to speak to, either to help them or for them to help us, either to be a comfort unto them and a consolation of Christ to them, or them to us. So he says in verse 6, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation." No doubt he's speaking of himself, but using the pronoun we. So we might even say, yes, it does take us in as well. "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Paul believed that the preaching of the gospel was certainly key and important to his ministry to people. But he also believed that because he did preach the gospel, and he was able to use those trials and sufferings for the glory of God that he went through, even the tribulations, he says that it is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. In what sense of salvation? Well, certainly the Lord is the one who saves us, and it is by the grace of God and through faith. Yet we find that there are many things which are ministered to us in our salvation because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that we are ministered to in comfort and in consolation as well in our salvation. So if you know someone going through a difficult time, you might decide to comfort them or to share some consolation with them as you have been comforted and felt the consolation of your faith in Christ, realizing that you may strengthen and edify them also in their salvation. In verse 7, "And our hope is of you, is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." We share in many things in ministry. I think as a church, certainly we perhaps feel it on a more personal level of experience that we share in each other's lives, either in praying for our difficulties that we have, or praying for people who are going through some trial, or ministering in some way to help someone who is in need, sharing in some personal way to encourage someone in their faith. All these things are a part of how we become partakers of sufferings. Paul felt those things as he traveled and ministered to the various churches and to the various people. And so his sufferings took on a very personal level of experience to the very people that he was ministering to. So shall ye be also of the consolation. And so as you share and as you partake of those things, as you partake of the sufferings of Christ, as you are willing to share those experiences and your hopes in the Lord, your faith in Christ, then you will also share of those things in comfort and consolation. In verse 8 he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." Now certainly the apostle felt those experiences very personally. He says, "Paul did not hold back on informing the Corinthians of the persecution he had experienced." So he was persecuted in his faith. He didn't hold back. He shared with others how that he was persecuted. He wanted them to understand the things that he went through and how that he was, as he says, "We were pressed out of measure beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life." He evidently came to a very critical point in his life where he felt like perhaps that was it. He was going to die because of some of these sufferings and persecutions that he had to endure. But he knew the one who was able to revive him, as it were, to raise him up again, that he might continue in the ministry. Well, I suppose you've heard someone say, who is a believer, that after they've gone through a very difficult time and revived, they have probably said something to the effect, "Well, I guess the Lord still has something for me to do." We perhaps have heard that before. We get that sense that God sometimes isn't quite ready to call a saint home, that he allows them to continue even though they go through some difficult times. I guess if I were to say something to Joni, it would be to say something like that, you know, that she shouldn't give up too quickly. I tried to say that to her the last Sunday. But of course, when you're going through a difficult time physically, you can't help but thinking that perhaps the Lord is going to take you a little quicker than you thought, perhaps. I suppose each of us have had some bad experiences, and not everyone perhaps has experienced the same, but you've had some you've had some thoughts raised, perhaps. But what does the apostle say here in verse 9? But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. The sentence of death in ourselves is kind of an unusual way of saying it, but it probably was something like this, that he had the sentence of death hanging over his head. You know, he felt it was impending. He felt like death was impending. So he says, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Okay, when you kind of reach a point where you think that you can't do anything more, you've got to rely totally upon God if you're going to get through something. I suppose many a missionary has been in that case. He seems to be saying this, that we should not trust in ourselves. Well, certainly if you're in a real bad situation, you probably should trust in God, right? not in your own self. He says, but in God which raiseth the dead. In other words, to realize the power of God. God is the one who raises people up from their deathbed when necessary. Well, Jesus raised a few people, didn't he? And who can raise people? Only God can raise people. Doctors do a good job of repairing people. And sometimes they say, well, I'm going to go to the doctors and get fixed. Get myself fixed. Yeah. But we know only God can really raise people in the sense of that their life might continue. And that their faith may be ever rebounding, and that their hope and their consolation be only in Him. And they realize that He alone is the God of mercies. God is the one who accomplishes these kinds of things. He says in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust, that He will yet deliver us. And so Paul seemed to make it clear that he wasn't trusting in man. No, he was trusting in God. In fact, He doth deliver, he says. That is, he delivers believers from the martyrdom of physical death. And He will continue to deliver us. He will yet deliver us. So Paul has this great faith that that they could not kill him until God got ready to allow him to go home. He was not going to trust in man, even in the darkest hour. He was going to trust in God and God alone. In verse 11, yea, also helping together by prayer for us. And see, now he results now back to them saying, you can help us by praying for us. And we ought to pray, right? We ought to. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Prayer and thanksgiving. It comes down to giving credit where credit is due. Prayer is important. And that we should give thanks to God also. Yes, we have our consolation and our comfort in Christ, in the Father of mercies, in God. And God would have us also to be using that as a part of a ministry. Just as the apostle did, we can use the comfort whereby God comforts us, the consolation whereby we are consoled and find our consolation in Christ. We can use that to encourage others and to minister to others. And that is what the apostle loved to do. And so should we. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank You for the comfort and consolation that we have in Christ, our Savior. And yes, Lord, in our Father who is in heaven, who is the Father of all mercies unto us, and the God of all comfort to us. Lord, bless, we pray, even in the midst of our great trials and tribulations and sufferings, sometimes these things are difficult for us to bear. But we know, Lord, you are able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. We give thanks and praise to you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.